Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan. Elish Borfar, J.D. Bunkus, Blake Murphy. That's our lineup for today. And we're going to be joined by our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Jackie Redmond, studio host, NHL Network, WWE Network, and contributor on NHL on TNT. Good morning, Jackie.
Morning. How is everybody?
Oh, we're good. We're fired up for a big Royal Rumble weekend.
I know. I can't believe the Stone Cold music was going. That's wild. I don't think I can live up to that entrance.
Yes, I totally knew who that was and what that was while we were coming in. I'm like rapidly using my SoundCloud or Spotify to be like, what is the song? But I assumed it was a wrestling thing. But before we get into wrestling, we'll bounce around the NHL a little bit. I saw that you got the chance to go to Leafs Rangers at MSG last week as a fan. Is that right?
Yes. it was my husband's birthday, so he had never been to Madison Square Garden before, so we went and took in the game. It was the Ryan Reeves game, if you will.
Exactly.
But it was a good time. The fans were not nice about the Leafs performance, but you know, I love when fans hurt me when we're at games. So I love getting into it with fans. I don't know how you guys feel when you're like watching a team in an opponent's building, but I get a real kick out of it. So I think that's half the fun.
Could you feel the energy?
You love to be loved.
Yeah, that's true.
You love to be loved. I like you getting chirped. Like I was just gonna say, like Jackie's like, I was like, give the chirps back and forth, and then it's like, no, then you're in the bathroom, like wash your face, like just love me, make sure you love me. Just tell the truth. Tell the truth.
No, what are you talking about? You're so full of it. I can't even believe you. The number one guy, who loves getting into it with people, can't even be on the same page with me about going to a game and getting into it with fans when I absolutely guarantee, I would put my house on it, that you get into it with fans when you're at any sporting event of any kind and absolutely love it. So I don't know how you can't even agree with me on that.
Did you wear your jersey, or did you wear the Darcy Tucker jersey?
I did not wear the Darcy Tucker jersey, but only because I don't have with me in the States. Otherwise, I would have. Are you kidding?
It should be hung up on your wall.
No, I don't have a very big place here, so there wouldn't really be anywhere for it to go.
Okay. Yeah, fine. That's fair. I'm trying to picture, like, do people come at you because they know who you are at that game and they already see you and they recognize that you are, like, branded as a person that is from this place, you're from Toronto, and so they start giving it to you because,
you're not wearing your
Leafs uniform, or you start it?
No. I had a Leafs hat, and Emmett also had a Leafs thing, too, but we were clearly cheering for the Leafs. Like, we were not, like, getting up for the Rangers goals or anything like that. So we like the Leafs got out to an early lead in that one, and we were very clearly there for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Could you feel the energy of like, okay, they're up 3-1. You know how that feels. Could you feel like the stands a little bit, maybe feeling that comeback energy in MSG, and how was that kind of, the collapse, and how did that feel?
I would say when the Leafs were up, I wouldn't say that the crowd was out of it. Like, the crowd was still invested in the game, but it was definitely quiet. But then once it was 3-2, like, the crowd was right back in it. And it's, like, the best feeling as a fan when your team comes back. And I think the fact that Ryan Reeves had two goals in that game just, like, elated the crowd. Just because it's just not what you expect. And I think everybody loves that sort of storyline when, like, the unexpected guy who's not supposed to score goals is all of a sudden, you know, got two goals in a game for the first time in, like, I think it was like 6 years or something like that. It had been since he had scored two goals in a game. So once it was close, I think, you know, most hockey fans that pay attention to what's going on outside of their team, especially when it's the Leafs, they know the Leafs' reputation. They know that the Leafs had been blowing leads. And so as chewing it. Like, they could smell blood. The fans could smell blood. They knew it. They're like, it's a one-goal game now. Like, we got you. We're going to win this game. And the crowd was, I got to admit, the crowd was electric. It was tough to stay seated in my seat when the Rangers were scoring goals and winning the game. But I did. I did stay seated. I will say, sure. I stayed seated. it was a cool atmosphere, though.
Yeah, you left, but it's okay. You probably left as soon as time. You probably bolted. You're like, you probably took your Leafs hat off. You probably tucked it under your arm and went up into the stands. It's okay. Fine.
As soon as it was 3-1, JD, I left. Soon as it was 3-1, I was like, we're dead. I'm out of here.
Yeah. You know what, though? I will say this. That is the worst, is when you're on the road in an other team's building as a fan and your team goes up. And you start talking trash. You start, like, kind of ripping the other fan base. And then all of a sudden the worm turns in the game. And then everyone who has been bitter about the game is now also turned you into the face of that. And then you start to get the barbs and you start to get the chirps. And it's just like you have that anxiety as a fan watching it where you go, please don't blow this game. Not because I care so much as the result, but because I don't want to have to wear this for the entire exit for the entire time that I watch the rest of this game. And there's nothing more hollow than the chirps you give back when a game is tied, you blow a lead, and you're like, yeah, well, we're still out there giving it our all. It's just done. You're screwed. But
you're like, you better hope this doesn't go to a shootout.
Especially since they had a signature player. You mentioned it. Like, Ryan Reeves doing it, that adds a completely different element. The day of the week, all those different things. But, okay, I imagine that some of the chirps were about Canada. And our buddy CJ just put it out there that, hey, it's going to be a bit of a tough sell for Kyle Dubas heading into the deadline when it comes to trying to sell people on living in Toronto and being here and living with the COVID restrictions that we have versus what it is like in the States right now. And you work in hockey. You are all over the map. You know a million different people in the game. And I wonder how you feel about that right now. Is just, a Canadian citizen who does live in the States getting to experience that difference firsthand. And how big of a through line that is for players, even in a competitive year for the Leafs, where guys might have an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup, that they don't want to be here. Like, nobody really wants to come up here.
I got to be honest, I think that it's absolutely a feeling that's felt by a lot of players in the league. I mean, and it's hard not to understand why that they would feel that way. Like, Toronto's a great city. It's a wonderful place to be as a sports fan, especially as a hockey fan, when things are normal, but things haven't been normal for so long. And like, I had two real experiences in the last couple of weeks where that's just been like in my face. It's one thing to watch on TV, and you certainly see the difference watching a game that's happening in Canada versus a game that's happening in the States. But I went to the game at MSG two nights ago, Wednesday night. I was at the Boston Colorado game in Denver, which had a wild finish and a packed house. And in both situations, I just thought about how amazing it is to watch a hockey game in person. And like, I think hockey is so, like, I love watching hockey on TV, but watching hockey live, there is nothing like watching hockey live, especially a good game. And, you know, seeing both of those situations and being in those buildings for crazy games and what it does to the fans, it's so disheartening. It's so sad that Canada doesn't have that right now, and that fans in Toronto can't experience those roller coaster of emotions with the team as they're living it themselves on the ice, because that's what it is. That's why we love sports, is the emotional roller coaster that we go on, whether it's because we haven't seen our team win a cup in our lifetime, or because, you know, maybe someone bet on the game, or whatever it is. Like, that's part of the experience, and I think the crowd's a big part of it. But to answer your question, and Emmett, like, my husband lives in Canada, right? So when he came to the Madison Square Garden game, he was like, I can't believe, like, how different it is here. Like, it was so weird for him to be around so many people and be like, I can't believe that, like, a 2-hour flight away, and it's, everything is so different than back home. But, you know, I think Austin Matthews the other night, I mean, I know he was joking when he was on headset and he was like, you know, just like really build off the atmosphere here. And like, I think it's definitely a sentiment for the players where they're like, you want to play in front of fans. They feed off of that, especially playoff guys. Like the guys like, I mean, this guy's not going to be in the playoffs this year, but you think about the heart and soul players, the players that go out and play through injury and are your energy players in the postseason. I have to imagine that guys like that really feed off the energy of a crowd as well. So it doesn't surprise me that those are the reports. I think that that's a feeling that we feel just as people. I'm sure, you know, like people in Toronto are probably pretty frustrated right now and feeling impatient because we've done, you know, it's like we're doing all the right things and we're not getting the results that we want. Like people are vaccinated, people are getting boosters, people are masked up, people are, you know, being responsible in what they choose to do, you know, outside of work and staying home from work and, you know, doing all of these things and not getting the results. It's like, it's like we're like working out, we're doing two-a-days, working out every day and haven't touched a potato chip in months, but like haven't like seen a single ounce of progress in our progress picks or something. I don't know. It's just, I just think everyone's frustrated right now. So it'd be no surprise to me if a lot of players in the league were like, I don't want to go somewhere where I have to be holed up in a hotel room, especially like, think if you're a rental player for a cup run or something, and then you don't even have like your own home because maybe you're a rental, maybe you're a free agent this summer. So you're not going to get a house. You're going to be in like some hotel room somewhere, probably a pretty nice one, but you're going to be in a hotel room. You're not going to be able to do anything. There's no fans in the building. It's just like, yeah, I don't blame anyone if they feel that way.
No, it's obvious. I actually think that to not look at it the way that you just presented it is asinine. It's not even just about these guys being millionaires or wanting to go out or do things like that. It's just like living. You're right. It's being at a stadium that might be half capacity. It's crossing the border. It's having to live in a place that is like almost feels more politically charged than the United States right now, which is nuts considering what we just had for the last 4 years south of the border. Canada is awful right now. It's terrible here. No one's having a good time. And I don't care if you're like proud of how restrictive we've been and you're still in that camp of like, oh, it's so great that we're so cautious that we're living, like you said, doing two-a-days and yet can't even leave your apartment. Like, no, it's awful here. It's truly, truly terrible in Canada right now. And anybody who disagrees is lying. Like, it's like you're lying or you've got your head in the sand completely. So the idea that an NHL player would want to try to bring their family up here or try to move here for it would be nuts. Well, who wants to do that right now? Didn't you guys see what Justin Falk said the other day? But or was it, who was it? I think it was Justin Falk.
It was Justin Falk.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm not looking forward to going up to Canada right now. It's like, you know who else feels that way? Even the guys who are on the Canadian teams. They just don't want to say it. They don't want to say anything about it. So I'm with you. It's kind of one of the building stories of the season. And I think people are losing focus on it a bit because there are loosening restrictions happening here now, right? So you can go back to the bars and we're going to have some fans in the seats. But the fear of having the restrictions kind of pulled back, the way that it is charged here, the ability of the governments to basically just be flip-flopping the way that they have been on some of these policies, the vaccine mandate, all these different things, I just look at it and go, this is going to be a much, much bigger story over the next couple of months than people are giving it credit for right now. And I think it's because people are afraid to bring it up.
Yeah, no, I think both things can be true, right? Like I see what you're saying and I understand because I mean Justin Falk really like took it on the chin on social media, as we often do when we say anything that's not like straight down the middle or whatever. Anyways, he took a bit of a beating for those comments, but I think like you can understand where people are coming from and also feel like it's important that we're responsible and that we have restrictions to some degree and still feel that it sucks. Like you can have that opinion where it's like, yes, I want to be responsible. I want to be safe. I understand that there are certain measures that have to be taken, but you can also be like, I would rather be somewhere where the restrictions are less. Like you can have both of those feelings.
Somewhere the restrictions will be less is at the Dome at America Center, St. Louis, Missouri, Saturday night. It's the WWE Royal Rumble. If you're not caught up yet, that's okay. The Royal Rumble is the most easy casual viewing on the wrestling calendar. You could also watch SmackDown on the Sportsnet network of channels tonight to get you ready for it. You could tune into Raw on Sportsnet to get caught up after the fact. Jackie, we could obviously watch you on WWE Network. The Royal Rumble is Saturday. It's the most fun casual viewing, the most fun betting event on the wrestling calendar. We're not going to go into the specific people because, one, JD and Ailish don't watch WWE much.
We're beginners.
And I am, at least. this is probably the least tapped in I've been to that. And then also you could just we've got Cool Bet Chris coming on in the next segment. You could just look at the odds on Cool Bet and kind of get a little sneak at who the books are leaning toward. So what we're going to do, Jackie, is we're going to do something a little different. We're going to lean on what I think is the best way to do a Royal Rumble pool. But we're going to make it a little less random. So normally, and JD, I think you've said you've done this in the past too. You get together with a couple friends to watch a Royal Rumble. Everyone draws numbers until you're out of the numbers. And if the person who enters at your number wins, you win the pool. So no real
Blake,
skill involved.
I haven't done it a couple of times. I invented this. I invented it.
Okay, I've been doing it since like grade 7,
What do you mean by enters? Like, what do you mean enters the ring that, or like?
Yeah, so Ailish, the way the Royal Rumble works is there's 30 participants. The match starts out with two in the ring, and then every 60 seconds, a new person comes in. Oh, and if you get thrown over the top rope, you're eliminated. So that's how it
this
works.
It's crazy.
Two people to start. Sometimes there might only be one person in the ring chilling, waiting for the next person. Sometimes there could be like 12 people in the ring, and it fills up, and it's very funny. So we are going to pick numbers between 1 and 30. And if the entrant at that number wins, we win. So we already have one number off the board, Jackie. Jeff Merrick was on earlier in the week, and he took number 11.
Okay.
So I'm gonna let Ailish lead off here because I know what number she's picking, and I have a little context on that number. And you know, Ailish, she just had to ask the specifics of the Royal Rumble. I think it's only fair that she gets the first pick here. Yeah. Ailish, what Royal Rumble number are you taking?
Yes. Well, I got to go with my lucky number, my hockey jersey number for my whole life, number 27.
That's actually a good Royal Rumble number.
It's a great Royal Rumble number.
You're lucky that you never went with 4Z and you just stuck with 4. You know, like you didn't stick with the 4 far thing and stay 4 because then you'd be screwed. You'd be dead in this pool.
There is a good kayfabe reason to like 27 and a good like non-kayfabe, like real world reason to like 27. The kayfabe reason is you're the fourth last entrant. You're coming in fresh.
Yeah, seems pretty legit.
Yeah, you're coming in fresh. So there have been 39 Royal Rumbles in history, and 13 of the winners have come number 27 or later.
What? Let's go.
Number 27 is actually the highest total of any number in the entire Royal Rumble winners. There have been four winners at number 27. So, Ailish, that's a great pick. Jackie, we're going to go to you next. 11 and 27 are off the board. You got 1 to 30 here. What number are you taking for Saturday? And by the way, there's a men's rumble and a women's rumble on Saturday. You get the number for both rumbles, so there could be two winners.
Okay, that was gonna be my question because I have a theory for how the Royal Rumble on the men's side is gonna go.
Okay,
and the number I'm picking, I don't necessarily know if it will bode well for me in the Women's Royal Rumble, but I think it may bode well for me in the Men's Royal Rumble. I'm getting nervous to take it now, though. But I'm going to go with number 16. I'm going to go with 16. Shout out, Darcy Tucker.
Outrageous. That's outrageous.
I'm
going to
go with number 16. No, it's not. It's not if what I think is going to happen could happen. So I'm going to take 16. Because I think someone's going to come into the Men's Royal Rumble that we don't expect, and I think he is going to tear it apart. I think he's going to just be tossing dudes everywhere en route to a
victory.
Seems
like you have some insider information. Seems like cheating.
No. Don't get me in trouble here, Ailish. I'm just saying that I feel like there could be something that happens. I'm hoping that this happens. It's really more so why I'm making this pick. So I'm going 16. If I wasn't subscribing to this theory that someone's going to lose a match earlier in the night and then be a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble, I would have taken 22, but I'm taking 16.
I think I know where you're going with that, Jackie.
Yeah.
So number 16, by the way, number 16 has won once. That was Drew McIntyre just 2 years ago.
Yeah, good pick, Jackie. One time. That's a good pick by you. You know, I thought you were a pro. I thought you were supposed to know wrestling.
Hey, Jeff Merrick picked 11, and nobody's won at number 11 before.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
I was shocked when you said 11. I was shocked.
Yeah, weird one. The average, by the way, if you want a little data here before you make your pick, JD, this is how we do it in the Waking Rake, so I'll give you here. I mentioned 27 is the most common. The median Royal Rumble winner has entered at number 23, and the average is 19. So, JD, you're on the board. 11, 16, 27 are off the board. What are you taking?
Well, I'll just say this. I told all you wrestling nerds. I told all you wrestling nerds that I didn't want to know because I want one event a year that I can just watch this wrestling event in peace, gamble on it with friends, and have a good time. And guess what? The wrestling nerds couldn't help themselves. They put it out there all week long, as they always do, about who's going to win the Rumble and who's going to do the thing. So now I know, and I don't care. I'll spoil it for everybody else. It's going to be either Brock or it's going to be Big E Langston. Those are the two names that are going to win the Royal Rumble. Big E, who did the show. Both of those guys are big dudes. You know what they never do with the big dudes? They don't bring them in early to win. They bring them in late so they can stay fresh because they got a lot of muscle mass. Those dudes are coming in late, so they're going to bring in Brock late, and he's going to show up, and they're going to do the, my God, what is he doing here? And then he's going to throw a bunch of dudes out of the ring, and he might win this sucker, and he might make everybody money. So one, if we're doing Wake and Rake, I'll be gambling on those two guys. And two is I will take 29 because obviously they're going to want to have it, or 30. I thought one of the two of those things, but this is clearly a one where if they're bringing Brock out, they're going to bring him second to last or last at the very end of it, where they go, oh man, I can't believe he's here. He's going to come in there. He's going to dust everybody. So I'll take 29 just because it is usually a little bit more fun when you put them at 29. And then the last guy that comes out is some dork who's like never going to win, and you're holding that number 30 ticket and you lose. So 29 for the winner, Felix Potvin. I've got this. This is a lock. This is the best number taken by far. 16. She does it for a living. 16. That's so embarrassing. Oh.
JD, you just laid out a great kayfabe case for it. You come in fresh, late, even doing double duty like Lesnar or Big E might do. 29 is a good spot. Not only that, 29 has won the Rumble twice, including Brock Lesnar. In 2003.
Let's go.
He came in at number 29. So maybe he runs it back.
I know
that
all this.
Way.
Again, I invented it. I told you. Yeah. I invented this. So I know all the stats.
So we also have other participants here. So Daniele chose number 22. He didn't give me the explanation there. That's won twice. Sheamus won at number 22. And Triple H won at number 22. Man, we got friends of the show all over the place here, eh? Triple H, Big E, Edge. This, you come on this show and you're wrestling adjacent. Jackie, you might win the Women's Rumble on Saturday at this rate.
Yeah, right. Not if I'm entering at 16. Hey, JD?
No.
And
our... put the losers. That's the loser pick of all loser picks.
Stop it. Listen, you got to keep things interesting, JD. And I'm hoping that things are crazy and that Brock Lesnar comes in at 16 and just rakes and throws guys over for... Well, we'll see. We'll see, won't we?
You know how tired he'd be coming out 16? Brock Lesnar is like 55 years old now. Like, he's had he's like got no parts of his bowel left. He's got like, he's done. He's done. There's no chance. They got to limp that guy out for four throws at the end of the match and go, wow, this is our champion, because that's what they're going to do. It's just, this is the way it is. That's the promotion.
You know 16. What? I will say, like, when I picked 16, I was like, oh, well, he's gonna eliminate, like, a bunch of dudes. Like, maybe even, like, come out and just, like, throw an incredible number of guys over the top rope. And, like, that was sort of my justification. And then I listened to JD, and as you were speaking, all I was thinking to myself as you were explaining your very good reasoning for 29, right, was, like, wait a second, Jackie, just because he's coming in at 16, like, yeah, there'll be lots of people left to come in, but he can enter at 29, and there could still be, like, 15 dudes in the ring. Like, what are you talking about?
Jackie. So I sure could.
I do have a little regret.
So we have, I mentioned Danielle, I took 22. We have to get a ruling from you, Jackie, on one thing. So Vic, our tech guy, he picked number one, which is the most try-hard number, because obviously you're going the Iron Man, you're going the distance. number one in the Rumble has won three times, though, including last year. Edge did what the Iron Man victory.
They wouldn't do it back-to-back years. That's bad marketing, sure. bad scripting.
You're the dumbest guy alive, Vic. You're the dumbest guy alive. That's embarrassing.
What I want to ruin, Jackie, is number one and number two start the Royal Rumble at the exact same time. It's the exact same level of difficulty, but WWE has historically made number one this really tough spot, and like you get punished and you're forced to enter the Rumble at number one. And number two is just random. People don't count that. Vic doesn't get number two here, right? It's only the guy who enters first.
Ooh, that's a really great question. Yeah, I think if you're picking number one, then it has to be the first person, even though whoever is number two is in the exact, like to your point, they're in the exact same position, but you can't have two shots at a win with two numbers. So no, you get, right. you pick your poison. It's either one or it's two.
All right. So we've got Vic at number one, Jeff Merrick entering at number 11. Jackie comes in at 16. Daniele's in at 22. Ailish in at 27, JD in at number 29, and that leaves me with the most obvious pick in terms of kayfabe. You want to be the last guy in. You want to be the freshest. The number 30 has won the Royal Rumble three times. It's also the spot they use, hey, if it's going to be a big surprise return, throw him in there at number 30. I'm taking number 30. It just, I thought about number one because it's the easiest story to tell. It's the easiest underdog babyface one. With number one off the board, I'm going 30. JD, you and I have very similar logic here with our picks. I just think if someone's coming back, you get that last pop at number 30. I hope everyone's comfortable with their numbers. I hope everyone's happy with it. There was no double picking, so that's nice.
Jackie's
coming in the middle of the Rumble.
I know, like wrestling fans, you better hope they're not listening to this, because boy, your reputation in the wrestling world is in tatters after the 16.
We're gonna have to say bye here, Jackie.
I'm not safe.
We're gonna have to say bye here, Jackie. Not only because we're out of time today, but also like, by the time Ailish, JD, and I enter the Rumble at 27, 29, and 30, you're going to be so long gone, having come in at 16, that we won't see you Saturday either. Royal Rumble on Saturday. Check out all your WWE stuff on the Sportsnet Network of channels. Check out Jackie on WWE Network as well as NHL Network and NHL on TNT. Jackie, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. Have a blast this weekend.
I will. Appreciate you guys.
See you, Jackie.
That insider has been brought
to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. They should give the winner of the Rumble. Well, I guess the winner of the Rumble gets a title shot at WrestleMania. They don't need a car as well, but you should also get a car, like how you win the dunk contest.
Well, now you're giving away Lexus.
You win a Kia.
Lexi.
Yeah, I'm giving away Lexi. What we're also going to give away is more Zach Brown Band tickets. We're going to do that after the break. We're also going to give away some hot picks. The Wake and Rake got back on the right foot last night. We got Coolback Chris coming on to preview the NFL weekend. We'll give you some picks for tonight. All that's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Let's give away some Zach Brown Band tickets. If you're listening right now, get on your phone. Call number 5 at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590 or *590. If you want to go see Zach Brown Band this summer in their Out in the Middle tour at Bud Stage, Friday, June 3rd, a pair of tickets are up for grabs right now. So give us a call and good luck. There's no skill testing question. You just got to be nice and you got to say bing bong and you got to say that you bet the Wake and Rake. That's it. Those are the three rules. And subscribe to the podcast, download all that good stuff. Thank you. Good luck.
So last
is that it, Ailish?
That's it. It's like, that was the read. That's how the read goes now. That's the way that they pay for it. So last night the Wake and Rake hits again. Blake mentioned that we're now at 64, just over 64% earlier in the show. Again, if you want to follow these bets, you should be subscribing to the podcast every day, third hour. And every Friday, our guy from Cool Bet, Cool Bet Chris, Chris Abbott of said Cool Bet. What's up, buddy? You've become a trapdoor for us. We've decided to just, you know, your pick is ceremonial. It's like, what do they call it when you give somebody a fake degree? Like, that's it, right?
Honorary.
Ceremonial, where they go,
it's
honorary.
Called going to Carlton.
Yeah. Whoa, that's too far. You know what? Now I'm bringing it up. Ailish didn't win yesterday. She pushed, all right? Ailish. Ailish's whole thing is like trying to pick games that get canceled and that push. But yes, Cool Bet Chris joins us now, the true trapdoor. What's up, buddy? How are we doing?
Oh, I am so bad for everybody's gambling, although I am on a little bit of a heater right now. And by the way, 64% on parlays is insane.
We're legit.
That's Hall of Fame stuff right there. That's really, really good.
Yeah, it is. And again, if you want to play along, you just hit us up in the DMs. You want to play on Cool Bet, shoot me a note later today, anytime today, and we will set you up. So let's start with football, though, buddy, because it's a huge slate. It's another big one. You and I are going to be going to the Actually, we got to start with this. You and I are going to the Canada soccer game. We're obviously putting a heavy wager down on Canada just to win, right? Like, this is just the rule, right? This is the rules. I'm going to the game. I'm going live. The question I have for you, though, is my rule is I go and I bet the home team because I have good luck with that. Are you still doing the Cool Bet Chris kiss of death, which is that you are actually going to bet the United States? Because I feel like if we combine forces, Canada's going to win.
This is hard because I'm torn. I like betting on the team at the stadium. Like, I'm not a complete psychopath, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's been working for me, right? Like, I did it again last night.
I know.
Do I put the country's flag in front of my own bank account? I don't
you
know what
to.
I do here.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to.
You must.
You
must.
You listen, again, we're the member the Power Rangers. I forget what the Zord.
Voltron.
Zord.
Megazord.
Megazord. Where it's like it all comes together to make one win. It's like the Canadian soccer roster, all the momentum of people being back in the stadium, me betting on Canada going to the game live, plus 190 on Cool Bet right now, you betting on the United States, plus 165. Boom. That's the Megazord of just combining factors for Canada to get a huge win in Hamilton.
Oh, it's so tough. I mean, I honestly, what I think the smart play is Canada's draw no bet, which is even money. I think a draw is quite likely here. I think, you know, when you look at the overall standings in CONCACAF right now, I don't think either of these teams are going to be, like, really pushing to beat each other. They were talking about it on the broadcast last night. It's like, what gets you to Qatar? You know, you don't have to risk losing all 3 points in this game. So I almost want to bet the draw. Almost just want to bet the draw straight up.
The draw is plus 215 on Cool Bet, last I saw. So pretty good number. It's actually the strongest out of the three. I thought about it. I actually brought it up with my buddy that I'm going with, some of the points that you just made. So I don't think it's an insane one. It's just tough when you're going live, right, and just rooting for a draw. And I need to bet Canada here for my principle, which is sometimes you just need to bet for what you're rooting for. And to me, this is one of those scenarios where you're dropping money on the tickets, you're dropping money. Are we allowed to drink stadium beers, by the way? You're this insider on beer situations.
Brought to you by beer.
Yeah, exactly. Chris is.
I don't
Chris
know.
Just,
I,
yeah.
I actually don't know what the concessions deal is. I mean, they were allowed to have 50% outdoors before the whole lifting of restrictions even came into play. So I'm going to say yes. And if not, then maybe we got to get creative.
JD, if you don't want to root for the draw, obviously, I know there's less value here, so it's less of a sharp play and more of a I'm going to this game. The Canada double chance, so win or draw, is minus 238.
I'll probably throw that. You know what? That's probably going to go in the Cowards parlay.
Okay.
What's the over-under? Like, maybe you want to bet for a lot of goals, and that would be more fun for you as a fan, you know?
No, because then you feel kind of good about the United States goals, right? Because they still go in. You're like, no, but I needed that, so. I can't have it.
It's at 2.5. It's, like, heavy, heavy value if you take the over. It's 2.5 plus 130 or under 2.5 minus 161. So, that's a tougher one. I don't know what I'm going to do in that one.
I will say that if we lose this game and it's I feel it's because we couldn't fill the stadium and that we're still doing the stupid 50% outside thing, even though it's outside and we've known this for years and we're just like, yeah, whatever. We're just going to ignore everything to fit a narrative. I might cheer for USA because that's where I'm moving. So we'll see. I might have to get behind the United States. I might have to do that to just get out in front of it. So the NFL, where there's no 50% capacity, where they actually are putting people in outdoor stadiums. Let's just start with the Chiefs and Bengals. Chris, do you have an initial lean in this game? Is there a strong bet that you have in this game? How are you playing this one?
No, honestly, there's nothing strong for me in this game. I feel like there's going to be a lot of points. I think Cincinnati could keep it close, but I also think KC could run away with it. I really don't know. The whole feeling last week was like, okay, the Bengals are going to turn back into a pumpkin here now. Like, that was cute. That was fun. And then they go out and look good again. So I think I'm just going to let this spread get as high as it's going to go and then jump on the underdog or maybe tease a couple underdogs or something like that. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm just broken after last weekend. I don't think I want to do any more football. I think we've reached the pinnacle.
Ailish?
So, well, last weekend I did that four-team road dog parlay, which almost hit, you know what I mean? And I felt really good about that until the end of the Bills game. But I don't feel as confident about road dogs this time around, other than maybe the Niners. I don't feel good about the Bengals. Just looking at the money line, like, it's not even worth it. I think I would do Chiefs and Niners at this point, just to split the road dog thing down the middle. But I've gone back and forth all week about who I think is going to win this game. Like, it's just I haven't been consistent, you know.
7.5 isn't a short road dog though, so you don't need to feel like a traitor.
That's right.
You don't need to feel like a traitor to our cause. You're right. Like, it's just the Chiefs. If you like the Chiefs, I get the logic, but I think I'm more with Chris in terms of I like the Bengals here at the +7.5. That's just my initial feel of this, is Burrow and Chase just own that team, and I don't think that the Chiefs are all that much different than what we saw beforehand. I don't know why we're now all of a sudden trusting that Chiefs defense that got absolutely lit up by Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen was great. The Bills were really, really great. But also, we should just at least be acknowledging a little bit that Gabe Davis kept getting wide open in that football game. That Josh Allen just steamrolled them, didn't have any incomplete passes. This whole notion that Chris Jones is going to blow this game up for Burrow and that the Bengals aren't going to be able to move the ball is a little asinine to me. Like, the Bengals have a clutch money kicker who's going to nail everything whenever they get them within, 55 yards. And they have a quarterback and wide receiver combo that's clicking as good as anybody right now. A running back that's going to be able to keep them in this game, a dynamic playmaker. Seven and a half feels too big for me here. This feels like way too much respect, because the books cannot, like, Chris, tell me if I'm wrong. Doesn't this reek of the books are just kind of begging you to bet the Bengals because they're taking so much action on a favorite Chiefs team that just won a spectacular game?
Oh, yeah. The book is going to need the Bengals here. Absolutely. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. You made a good point, though. Like, maybe the play is to sit back and bet, like, Evan McPherson points over. Because they're going to be at, like, 6.5 or 7.5. That might just be the play here. Although, you know what? They are relying on the Chiefs secondary to stop them. And we saw last week that's not really the thing that they do very well. You know? So, with all the receivers that Cincinnati has, yeah, I'm even more happy now with +7.5.
Blake?
Yeah, so I think, I'm on the Niners as a dog. I think that game's too close to a coin flip to not take the money line value there. On the Bengals-Chiefs, I actually think the play here, given how I think Cincinnati's offense will be able to move the ball on that one, I think my play is going to be to bet the Bengals money line, but look for an in-play opportunity on the Chiefs. Like, if the Bengals score early, and then I'm playing both sides. JD, you know, on games I'm not super sure of, I love the hedge, or not the hedge, the middle there. So, there's potentially a scenario where you can get Cincinnati at plus money, and then the Kansas City money line comes down significantly. That's probably what I'll play there. I don't love the 7.5 line either way. So I think that's probably how I'll handle that one.
I like the 7.5. I think the total is a big number, but if you're going to play it, you got to bet the over again. These are two defenses that I don't really trust, and they're two offenses that I do. And it's just one of those, yeah, logically, probably value-wise, probably number-wise, there's going to be a lot of things that come out and say there's an edge to be playing the under, as it usually does. But both these teams are quick-strike teams. Both these teams have, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And you could end up seeing another scenario, like in the Bills game, in my opinion, where there's like a four-minute stretch where there's three scores. And that's just an under killer. And so for me, the under is a stay away. I don't really, I kind of lean over, but I'm not crazy about it. So let's move to that other game. It feels like we're all pretty consensus with the Niners because they have the 3.5, they have the hook, and that scares me a little bit when everyone starts to lean with the consensus pick. Chris, are you also on the pick of the show, short road dogs, the San Francisco 49ers plus 3.5?
Well, you know that just my own internal constitution doesn't allow me to bet on Sean McVay, so I have to bet on the 49ers, but guys, the Rams the last 2 weeks have looked fantastic. Like, you cannot take that away from them. You know, take the fourth quarter Tom Brady trying to do the thing out of it. You know, and they still won, obviously. So the Rams have looked really, 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 really good. The last thing for them to do now is to get over this 49ers hump. I'm not sure that they won't. That's why I think, you know, talking about a teaser with both the dogs is something that I'm interested in for this game. And Debo, right? Just let me bet Debo, whatever. Give me everything Debo.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun to be had with the player props in these ones. Let's pivot here and set up the weekend in general. Set up the Friday night. Chris, you're obviously welcome to go with a Sunday pick if that's how you feel strongly. But let's wake and rake for Friday. Let's see what we've got. Do you have a best bet for us for tonight?
You know, I really don't.
Good. No one was going to bet it anyway.
Let me go with this. The NHL overs have been hitting at a ridiculous clip. Like, since Christmas, since they kind of restarted after that pause, overs have just been hitting ridiculously. But so the lines are catching up to that. Everything tonight is 6 or 6.5. One game that I do like is the Dallas Stars at home on the money line against the Washington Capitals. I've been watching a lot of Dallas lately just because they've been on. And this team, I think they started a little bit slowly, but they're finding their way. And, you know, Roope Hintz is on an absolute heater. So if you don't want to pick Dallas, pick Hintz goal or point prop or something like that. I think that's going to be my play tonight, Dallas at home against Washington.
Dallas at home against Washington. All right. Ailish, do you have anything for us?
I do. I feel like I just need to weigh your reactions on this one, but I'm thinking the Bulls -2 over the Spurs.
-1.5 on Coolbet.
-1.5 on Coolbet. I feel like, I know the Bulls have been in a little bit of a rut, but think about how well DeRozan's playing and think about the fact that he just was named a starter, right, for the All-Star game. And who else on their team? Zach LaVine. So I feel like they're going to pull ahead here. It's a tight line, but I like I think the Bulls are a better team than the Spurs. So I'm going to bet with the fact that that is what I know and I believe in, and it's a tight line. So I think I'm a little bit more confident on betting that one.
Yeah, Ball and Caruso still being out, and Derek Jones Jr. is tough for that one, but
right,
San Antonio maybe tilts guard, like pure point guard play, but DeRozan and LaVine are very good. San Antonio has some interesting guys they could throw at them defensively, but San Antonio is a team that just isn't all that good, and they've maybe been overperforming a little bit. You know, this is one I'm definitely going to look at the player props in because
and DeMar revenge game.
Yeah.
So that's huge. He's going to go off tonight.
I don't know about revenge. They helped them get to Chicago and get
former team.
Paid,
it's the X's, you know? Always bet on the X's.
Yeah, so I don't know. The Spurs have kind of cooled off, too, after being a good against the spread team for a little bit. They're 3-7 in their last 10 against the spread. I might look at Jakob Poeltl props. He's been flirting with double-doubles pretty much every night, and Vucevic hasn't been very good. But, yeah, I don't mind that one. My only question, Ailish, is you can get that one at -1.5 or the money line, and there's an 11-cent difference there. Do you have a preference? What's going in there?
I said the spread, the line. Not the money line. Sorry, the -1.5. Yeah, spread.
All right, JD?
Bold. I'm just going to go with the Grizzlies. It's just the Grizzlies. I don't know if Rudy Gobert is like it seems like
he's
they said they're going to be cautious. Yeah, he's cautious with the calf strain. I don't know if Donovan Mitchell's playing in this game, but it's only 4.5 points.
3.5 now if you refresh your cool bet.
Okay, so there you go. I literally have it at, -4.5 with -103. But yes, I'll take the 3.5. I like that even more. So yeah, Grizzlies are just one of my teams. And I think that that's a Utah reputation play. And so I'll probably have that in my parlays on the money line. But I'll lay those 3.5 points. I love that with the Grizzlies tonight.
Sorry, guys. I actually forgot we could have a 1B for my pick, and JD, you're gonna love this because guess what's back this weekend?
Yeah, lacrosse. Are you gonna give me a loser lacrosse?
Curling.
Curling.
The Scotties
starts tonight. Krista McCarville's Northern Ontario rink at home -1.5. That's my alternate play for that.
There you go.
God, so tonight there's so much curling, and you know me, like, you know I'm going to be all over it. Already I see Northern Ontario -208 against Wild Card. That's obviously going in a million props, like a million parlays. Like, that's a JD, I don't even have to look at it. It's just Northern Ontario against Wild Card -208. That is just a staple of my betting. Blake, what's your pick?
Yeah, so my one warning on the Scotties Tournament of Hearts is that there's been some chatter that not all the teams were in Thunder Bay in complete form as of yesterday.
I love that you know this. I love that
you know protocols and
how
stuff.
How do you know this?
Just be a little careful if you're going volume. Like Fleury against New Brunswick struck me as a standout play -1.5, but then, you know, there's some chatter that maybe not every team in the field clears protocols in time. So
Blake, you are the Nardwar of sports betting.
Yeah.
Blake is our Nardwar of sports betting, where it's like, you know how Nardwar has the facts about people where the artists are like, oh my God, they have the freakouts. Like, how did Nardwar know that? Blake is that for sports betting, where it's just like he knows about who's available for the Scotties Tournament of Hearts in terms of before the tournament even starts, who's the fully healthy of team. I think that this is the new brand. Is it, we're going to have to do doot doot loot doot doot do for Blake when he does these random injury reports. Okay, so hit us with your pick tonight, Blake.
Yeah, I'm going Heat -6.5 at home against the Clippers. Jimmy Butler being questionable is a little bit of a tough one to lock in here at 8:30 in the morning. No Kyle Lowry still. But even around Lowry, Jimmy, and Bam being in and out of the lineup, the Heat have won 9 of 11 against the spread. The Clippers have been good against the spread lately too, but, you know, still no Paul George and Kawhi there. They're a hard team to have a ton of faith in. Like, they've come out flat a couple times and had, like, 35-point halves, and Miami's defense is the type of defense that, you know, if the Clippers come out in that form, we'll chew them up. So it's more points than I'd like to give with Jimmy questionable, but if Jimmy plays, that's one of my favorite lines of the night. So our wake and rake is the Dallas Stars, the Chicago Bulls -1.5, the Memphis Grizzlies -3.5, which JD was my number one pick. Once again, the Grizzlies being a show consensus, and the Heat -6.5. Couple of NBA favorites and the Dallas Stars. Cool bet, Chris. Thanks so much for taking the time today, man. And may the weekend be kind to you on the rink, on the pitch, and on, I don't know, what are they? What's the other thing?
The lacrosse floor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, lacrosse is your
the
other
carpet.
Thing.
On the carpet.
Yeah, I forgot where sports are played for a second. Sorry, I pushed out of my brain. I have all the curling injury reports in there, so I had to push out where sports are played.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's
still
tough
reeling one. From the ponderous grass last night, as the broadcast said. All right, Chris, thanks so much, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, cheers, guys. Take care. Talk soon.
Cool bet, Chris. Again, if you want to play with us, I've got promos. Just hit me up on Instagram. If you follow this podcast, you subscribe to this podcast, you follow, hit me up in the DMs. We'll set you up. You'll be able to play the Wake and Rake, which, again, is red hot. I'm going to read these stats that Blake put in here. 7 parlay wins, 15 with one loss. 15 parlays with one loss, like one trapdoor. 7 times 1-2. Amazing. We have not ever gone winless still. I don't even care that we say it. 65% on our picks. 65% on our picks in the Wake and Rake that are our best bets.